tonight, if you will, and turn with me to Acts chapter 27. Acts 27, Paul he has appeared before Felix, he has appeared before Festus, he has appeared before King Agrippa, Herod Agrippa. Paul had been warned about going back to Jerusalem. He was warned that if he would go back to Jerusalem, things would not go so well for him. I think he heeded the warning, but he made the decision to go anyway. So he has gone back to Jerusalem. We have looked at this storm that surrounded his life that came in the form of antagonism from the Jews. The Jews had it in for Paul. The Jews did not appreciate his ministry for Jesus. This one that had exerted all kinds of energy to stamp out the church and to really disable the church was now the greatest spokesman on earth for the church, Paul. So he's gone through some political drama, and now he is sent to Rome. So I wonder how things will go for Paul. So there's already a storm around him. Accusation, antagonism. The Jews wanted him dead. They wanted the Romans to get that done for them. But it hasn't happened so far. I think Paul's Roman citizenship has helped and served him well. So he is on his way to Rome, and we'll see how things go for Paul. You could call the message The Perils of Paul, or The Storm Within the Storm. We'll begin there in verse 1, and we'll read, we'll stop occasionally, and just offer some insight from what's going on. I think there's some great teaching here, as we read in the Psalms. I think there's the idea that the Christian life is like a voyage at sea. The sea is like the world. It's dark. It can consume you. And the Christian is on this ship, on this vessel. And he's out there. It's a place of faith, of trust, and vulnerability, exposure to the elements. We're going to see Paul on a ship. Verse 1. When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, now, so one thing we know is Luke is here. We have we. Luke's the writer. So he and Paul are there together. And it was decided. I don't know that they made the decision. So there are times that things are being decided for you. Has anyone ever decided something for you? A decision is made by someone else. It affects you. You may like it, you may not like it, but in the midst of that, do you recognize God's sovereignty? Just throwing that out. Those are opportunities to trust God. We may not like the decision, and we may be too prone to be critical of the one making decision instead of trusting the sovereign God behind the decision. I'm preaching to myself right now. I'll say amen. When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, they proceeded to deliver Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius. And embarking in an Adramitian ship, which was about to sail to the regions along the coast of Asia, we put out to sea, accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica. The next day, we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul with consideration and allowed him to go to his friends and receive care. Two things. Have you noticed that through the storm, more grace has come from the pagan Roman leaders and officials than has come from the religious Jews? That's striking and telling. Here, Julius treated Paul with consideration. You know, there are evidence of God's grace when you're going through a storm. And this was one evidence. It didn't come from Julius. It didn't come from a Christian. It came from Julius, who was a Roman, and his decision, his consideration of Paul, was that he allowed Paul, to go to his friends and receive care. It's interesting. So Julius precipitated this time of fellowship between Paul and his friends. Never underestimate the friends that God gives you during a storm. Never underestimate, never take for granted the friends that God brings to you during a storm. Now, the impression I have of the friends here is that they had been friends of Paul. That they had been there, and not only had they been there, but they are there. And that is one of the great hallmarks of a friend, is that they are there. Sometimes they're not always able to be there. Sometimes they're prevented from being there. But friends, when they can be there, they are there. And then notice that it says that Paul was allowed to go to his friends. This is God's grace. God worked through Julius in allowing this fellowship with friends that Paul could enjoy and what? Receive care. Now think about that. Paul received a lot. He received some ridicule. He received some scorn. He received lashes and beatings and whippings. And he was left for dead. And he received a lot. But here he's receiving from his friends. And I'm just thinking of Paul as someone who was not accustomed to receiving care. I see Paul as a man on a mission. And he's giving, and he's giving, and he's giving, and he's giving. But very seldom do we read about him receiving. And there are times that those who give need to relax and receive the grace of God through friends. Have you ever known someone that you just wanted to do something nice for, but they just wouldn't sit down for 4 seconds so you could get it done for them? I've known folks like that. Linda's mom was like that. I mean, she had breakfast, lunch, and dinner cooked before you could say thank you very much. I mean, it was just people that just serve, but would you please let someone else give? Can we give to you? Can we care for you just for a second? If you're that person tonight, there are times to receive care. There's time to receive that good word of encouragement. There's a time not only to put your arm around someone, but there's a time to let them put their arm around you. Okay? There's a time for you to come up alongside someone and walk with them. There's a time to allow someone else to come in from nowhere and walk with you and encourage you. There's a lesson there. We kind of glide over those words, but something's going on there. And then think about this. Think about verse 3. Now, hindsight's 20/20. So when we get to the end of chapter 27, we look back. I mean, don't miss the significance of what Paul receives in verse 3, because I think this has a lot to do with him getting through all the way to the end of chapter 27, all the way through 44, and even to the end of the book. I think this helps Paul. I think this sets some things in motion in the way of refreshing him mentally and spiritually, that really helps him get through the storm within the storm. Sometimes God doesn't wait till it gets worse. Sometimes God prepares you on the front end. You know, why am I receiving some care here? Why are people gathered? Why is this person praying for me? Well, maybe because it's in preparation for what's about to take place. See, God sees everything. He knows, but we see through a glass darkly. Verse 4, from there we put out to sea and sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. So here we go. So he's already sailed, right? But now he's sailing again and the winds are contrary. Verse 5, when we had sailed through the sea along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra in Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy, and he put us aboard it. Paul's a prisoner with other prisoners. He's just taking orders right now. He's just going where he is commanded to go. Verse 7, when we had sailed slowly. Okay. Different types of sailing here. There's smooth sailing and there's slow sailing. Let's see if there's any other kinds. When we had slowed slowly for a good many days. And with difficulty had arrived off of Cnidus, since the wind did not permit us to go farther, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salamone. And with difficulty sailing past it, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lasea. So smooth sailing and slow sailing and difficult sailing. Such is the Christian life. Where are you right now? You are here. Well, what is here? Smooth sailing? Enjoy it. Slow sailing? Enjoy it. Praise God. Difficult sailing? God's teaching you. God teaches us through the storm. God grows his people through the storm. I find it amusing that they came to a place called Fair Havens. I think God's got a sense of humor. Enjoy Fair Havens as much as you can. Sometimes the outward label is not an indication of what's really going on. Right? I saw the church one time, Agape Church. I always wonder. Really? Is it? You never know, right? Okay, maybe not. We'll go to verse 9. I think it's funny, but it's as you well know, I have a weird sense of humor. So we'll continue on. Verse 9. So when considerable time had passed. So when you're in a storm, see, we like it, you know, nice storm rolls in while we're asleep at night. That's great, right? We wake up and the birds are chirping. But sometimes storms can be lengthy. Sometimes they wear on you. The rolling waves and the wind and the rain, and when considerable time had passed, have you ever complained about the length of the storm? Considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous. So, okay, you have the smooth sailing, you got the slow sailing, you have the difficult sailing, and you have the dangerous sailing. Have you ever been in a storm that was just dangerous, and you had time to think about the danger of the storm? So what's God doing? We know what He's doing. Will you trust Him? A storm is God's way of asking you, will you trust me, says God, in the storm? Will you trust me? I mean, it's easy to trust the Lord when we can go walking down the street singing Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. I see trees of green, red roses too. But what about the times you don't see trees of green and you don't see red roses? Will you trust God? Hold on, folks. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. So considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous. Luke is writing this. Since even the fast was already over. So they're fasting on a trip. I don't know about you, but when I'm traveling, I ain't fasting. I ain't fasting when I'm traveling. I'm looking for the next Chick-fil-A. And oh yeah, it's Sunday night. They're not over. If I'm traveling, I'm not fasting. It tells you how serious things were that they were fasting. And just because you fast and pray in the midst of the storm doesn't mean the storm is going to go away right now. It just doesn't always work that way. We like to think it does, but it doesn't always work that way. Does God hear our prayers? Yes. Is God growing us? Yes. Is God teaching us to trust? Yes. Does God have a plan? Oh God, things are haywire. Does God have a plan? Yeah, He has a plan. He's working it out. Even when you can't see the sunshine. The fast was already over. Paul began to admonish them. I love this. Paul is going to speak. I wonder what Paul as a prisoner is going to speak. He's going to let them have it here. This is great. And this is what he said. Luke records what Paul said. So this is what Paul says. He's talking to who? He's talking to soldiers and sailors. Okay. This is what he says. Men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. He said those words. But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than what was being said by Paul. Now, what's interesting here is we have a twist. Because Paul went before Felix. Paul went before Festus. Paul went before Herod Agrippa. And what did they all want to know? They all wanted to hear Paul's story. They all wanted to hear the Apostle Paul. Tell us what you think. Tell us who you are. Tell us where you've been. Tell us what you believe. And these were great, powerful men. Now, the centurion and the pilot of the ship, they don't give a hoot about what Paul thinks or about what he says. And he's telling them the truth. He says, this is what I think. This is what's going to happen. We're going to lose the cargo. We're going to lose the cargo. That's what he said. Not only the cargo and, he said, great loss. Cargo and the what? And the ship. But also our lives. So not only are you going to lose what you're carrying, what kind of belongs to you, you're going to lose what you're traveling in, and you're going to lose your life. You ever had those prospects? You ever faced death? You ever faced loss of possession? God's asking, will you trust me? That's all he wants to know. You're going to freak out during a storm, or you're going to trust God? Paul, be quiet over there. Shh. We're the experts here. You're a speaker. You're a religious man. You're whatever you are, but we're the experts. We're the pilot of the ship. We're the centurion of the soldiers. Because the harbor was not suitable for wintering, the majority... they took a vote. I love it. So, Paul, you be quiet. Pilot, centurion, they're in charge. Everybody else, what do you want to do? Not a lot of confidence there, right? Let's everybody vote on it. This is funny, but I love it. A little democracy on the ship. The majority reached a decision. Maybe it was a consensus of some kind. No doubt they're all talking about it. They reached a decision to put out to sea from there. If somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. So they're thinking, we have some place we would like to arrive. We have a goal, we have a place in mind, and it would be perfect for us. Isn't that the way we think? We can just get through this little rough spot, and then we get to that point, and then we'll be fine. If I could just hear that report, or that good news, or if this could happen, or if that could happen, we just get there, we just get through this, everything's gonna be all right. Best laid plans of man. I mean, who's really in charge here? So verse 13, when a moderate south wind came up, supposing that they had attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and began sailing along Crete, close inshore. But before very long, there rushed down from the land a violent wind called a Euroquillo. And when the ship was caught in it and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along. It's almost like God was just kind of giving them a little moderate weather there for a little bit, just so they would start thinking, yes, we'll reach that goal, we'll reach that place, we'll winter there, we'll be fine, and then everything will be, you know, just be lovely. And they were thinking that, and then wham, Here comes this violent wind. The ship is caught, could not face the wind. They gave way to it. And they're letting themselves be driven along, running under the shelter of a small island called Clauda. We were scarcely able to get the ship's boat under control. And they had it hoisted. After they had hoisted it up, they used supporting cables and undergirding the ship, and fearing that they might run aground on the shallows of Syrtis, they let down the sea anchor, and in this way let themselves be driven along. The next day, as we were being violently storm-tossed, they jettisoned the cargo. Paul's thinking, remember? I told you guys. We're going to lose the cargo. You know what's next. So they throw the cargo overboard. That's how bad it is. And then on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. So what's that mean? What's the ship's tackle? That's what you have to have. That's what a sailor has to have to navigate the ship, to operate the sails. They're in a violent storm, and it's too much weight. They don't need that tackle. They don't need that cargo. That tackle. And then verse 20. Here's the picture. Since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. When they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in their midst and said, what do you think Paul's going to say? I love Paul. Listen to this. Men, you ought to have followed my advice and not to have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. Yet now, I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on a certain island. So here in the midst of this storm, they hadn't seen the sun. I mean, it's just cargo's gone, tackle's gone. In the midst of the storm, God sends an angel. God speaks to Paul. God encourages Paul in the midst of the storm that everything's going to be all right. He tells Paul not to be afraid. Don't be afraid. Listen, folks, you're a Christian. You don't need to be afraid of the storm. You don't need to be afraid of the dark. You don't need to be afraid of a prolonged storm. You don't need to be afraid of wind howling and rain pelting down on your life. Just trust God. Trust Him. And keep your courage. Verse 27, we'll go on a little bit more. It gets better, believe it or not. But when the 14th night came, what? The 14th night, that's a storm. As we were being driven about in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors began to surmise that they were approaching some land. They took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms, and a little farther on, they took another sounding and found it to be 15 fathoms. Fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they cast four anchors from the stern and wished for daybreak. But as the sailors were trying to escape from the ship, The sailors are wanting to get off of the ship. They're wanting to escape the ship. That's a sight. That tells you a lot. That speaks volumes. the sailors don't want to be here. Well, why would the soldiers want to stay on the ship if the sailors don't want to stay on the ship? They let down the ship's boat into the sea. And on the pretense of intending to lay out anchors from the boat, bow. So they're just saying, okay, we're going to let down the little boat. We're going to be in the little boat. We're going to put anchors out from this. But that was the pretense. What they were really trying to do is escape. They just wanted to get in the little boat out of the ship and get away. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, here's some real wisdom right here. Unless these men remain in the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved. We all appreciate good Christian soldiers. We need to have as great of appreciation for good Christian sailors. They need one another. Sometimes we don't appreciate differences in that way. Paul recognizes that there's no way to come through the storm with their lives apart from what the sailors bring to the ship. And so the Bible says, then the soldiers, so they're starting to listen to Paul, then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it fall away. Sorry, sailors, you're not leaving this ship. You're not going anywhere. We need you. Until the day was about to dawn, Paul was encouraging them all to take some food. Please eat. Saying, today is the 14th day that you have been constantly watching and going without eating, having taken nothing. Well, there's a sermon right there. That's us. We get so focused and sometimes so traumatized by things that are happening that we forget that we are frail creatures of dust. Most of us need sleep. Most of us need food and nourishment. Most of us need friendships. Never forget that. Sometimes it takes someone just to encourage you to eat. I don't need a lot of encouragement for that. I mean, just direct me in the right way, and I would love to eat. But we need that kind of encouragement, and we need to look after those details of what our bodies and our lives need in the way of sustenance. Therefore, I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation, for not a hair from the head of any of you will perish. Boy, Paul is really becoming a champion on this ship of their survival. And he is the epitome of optimism as it relates to God encouraging him and speaking to him. And Paul is just letting this encouragement flow. And you know what? I like to envision Auburn Baptist Church like a ship. We should be constantly encouraging one another. We need one another. We need somebody to man the ropes and the tackle. We need someone to look after the cargo. We need somebody to direct the ship. We need all kinds of help in raising sails and all that is involved in navigation. We need that kind of help on this ABC ship. This is a gospel ship. This is not the good ship Lollipop. Thanks. But we need everybody. And we need the encouragement. We don't need to be tearing each other down. We need to be, take some food, come along, let's go. We're together. We're a team. We're a team. We're the ABC team. Verse 35, and we'll stop. We'll stop at 38. Having said this, he took bread. Paul's taking bread. And he gave thanks to God in the presence of all. So See, right in the middle of the storm, right in the middle of this difficulty, having not eaten, you can imagine their emotions are, I mean, they are just... Wow. And here Paul is taking bread. And he's giving thanks to God in the presence of all. I tell you, that's a testimony. Giving thanks to God in the presence of a bunch of people for what he's given them and what he's provided in the midst of a storm. And he broke it and he began to eat. All of them were encouraged and they themselves also took food. All of us in the ship, how many were aboard ship? 276 persons. I love Luke's detail, is phenomenal. When they had eaten enough, they began to lighten the ship by throwing out the wheat into the sea. Just, I mean, how would you have liked to have been there? Would you have enjoyed that? Great time of teaching. We'll stop right there. And there's plenty more material here. So next Sunday night, we'll see. We'll see what happens with Paul and his friends on the ship. It's been good to be with you. Much encouragement tonight. Let's stand to our feet. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Good to have Boyle and Helen tonight. Thank you for being here. Boyle, lead us in prayer. Dismiss us tonight.